stand by. Welcome, and thank you for joining us for today's IBM teleconference, Optimize Your System Z Data Warehouse with IBM ETL and Analytics Tools. Today's teleconference will last approximately 60 minutes and will include a live question-and-answer session. In this teleconference, you'll learn how DB2 tools support new warehouse capabilities, build on integrated foundation with ZOS for unequal strength and data serving on mainframe. The speakers for today's teleconference are Bert Carwin, Program Manager for Strategic DB2 ZOS Initiatives, Karen Darwood, Product Management, Information Integration, and Mike Beer, Market Manager, Data Warehousing on DB2 ZOS. At this time, I'd like to hand over the conference to our first speaker, Bert Carwin.
Thank you, operator, and a warm hello to everyone on the call. Welcome to this teleconference on Optimizing Your System Z Data Warehouse with IBM ETL and Analytic Tools. Let's start by looking at the agenda for this discussion on slide 2. We'll begin by briefly reviewing the August 7th teleconference on IBM Dynamic Warehousing on System Z. We'll then take a deeper look at the IBM ETL tool supporting data warehousing on System Z. Finally, we'll spend some time on IBM analysis and reporting tools supporting data warehousing on System Z. We'll end with a question and answer session. Let's turn to foil 3. First of what I want to start with is a brief review of data warehousing on System Z. Today's teleconference was designed to build upon the August 7th teleconference, whose subject was leveraging DB2 ZOS and System Z for dynamic warehousing. By the way, the website to access the replay of this presentation is at the end of this presentation. Turning to foil number 4, first I want to summarize the teleconference on August 7th because it provides the background for this teleconference. In the August 7th teleconference, we introduced dynamic warehousing and established DB2 ZOS as a full participant in that IBM initiative. We introduced the layered data architecture as an approach that seeks to consolidate the logical components of a data warehousing environment within a single database environment. We reviewed what is available today to support data warehousing on System Z, and we recommended a solution architecture for data warehousing on System Z. First, let's take a brief look in this review at the dynamic warehousing. On slide 5, we show the DB2 warehouse platform for dynamic warehousing. Our goal is to provide a complete set of tightly integrated services that provide a data warehousing platform that delivers enhanced simplicity of deployment, management, and use, enhanced reliability and performance, and extended insight. It starts out with DB2 version 9, a highly scalable enterprise-class database that can address the performance characteristics of any type of application. We also provide data movement and transformation capabilities to reduce the complexity and lower costs typically associated with loading data into the warehouse and preparing that data so it can be leveraged more effectively. We then add a set of performance optimization features that enable the warehouse to address broader enterprise requirements. This includes Sysplex data sharing for dedicated warehousing that can scale linearly, workload control features for prioritizing queries to ensure the most critical applications are serviced accordingly, and deep compression of data and indices to increase efficiency of the warehouse and reduce storage costs. We then extend the value of the warehouse by including analytics capabilities that can be delivered in line within applications or made available as a service, along with data mining and visualization to provide more dynamic business insight. Finally, we provide a common set of integrated tools for data modeling and design, administration and control of the warehouse, and all related services, making them easier to use and manage. Next, if we turn to foil number 6, we'd like to take a brief look at the layered data architecture. At the heart of our data warehousing approach is a layered data architecture, which can be used to organize and consolidate different sources and views of your data in a single DB2 subsystem. The base of the architecture, floor 1, corresponds to traditional ODS systems. It's a staging area that has detailed, denormalized, raw source. From there, the data is transformed onto floor 2, which corresponds to the traditional data warehouse systems. Here, the data is typically near third normal form and can be organized into different subject areas. From there, the data is further transformed under floor 3, which corresponds to the DB2 warehouse performance layer. Here we have summarized or rolled up data for better performance. From there, the data can be transformed yet again onto floor four. Here we have dimensional data, data marts, or cubes. These data marts are different from traditional data marts. We exist on different subsystems in two ways. They are embedded in the same DB2 subsystem as the prior floors, and they can be logical marts implemented with views for maximum flexibility. From there, the data flows into floor five, which represents the dashboards, reports, and other end-user visualization, or can be embedded into active applications. Next, on foil seven, in this brief review of the prior teleconference, I'd like to take a look at what data warehousing and BI capabilities exist today for System Z. Here we list the different BI and warehousing capabilities that exist for System Z today. DB2 version 8 and version 9 provide a number of enhancements that directly benefit data warehousing in the areas of usability, availability, and scalability, direct data warehousing support, and overall system and query performance, as well as the exploitation of the ZIP processor. Our primary focus today is on the capabilities in the areas of extract, transform, and load, and analytics and reporting. Next, I'd like to take a quick look at our overall DB2 ZOS BI solution architecture. This is on slide 8. Here you will see all the different components coming together in our DB2 ZOS BI solution architecture. We see DB2 ZOS as the enterprise data warehousing platform. We see our ETL accelerator that provides basically for our ETL support for the warehouse. And we also see modern BI and reporting analytics via BI tools. The next three slides, starting with slide number 9, depict the recommended ETL architecture for data warehousing on Z based on what we call the ETL accelerator in more detail. For the initial load, the existing System Z data stored outside DB2 can be accessed through WebSphere Classic Federation Server. It allows relational access to non-relational data like IMS and vSAM and flat files. All data is accessed through a single ODBC driver, no matter if it's stored within IMS or vSAM or flat files. This way, the ETL accelerator can read directly all necessary information without having to care about different access methods of the host data sources. The distributed data sources can directly be integrated through the Federation server of the IBM Information Server, which builds a foundation for data stage on the ETL accelerator. The accelerator can be a P-series, Linux, or even Windows system. In the future, Z Linux will be recommended as a platform for this component. The existing DB2 OLTP data is accessed directly by data stage through DRDA. All transform, cleansed, and joined results are stored back to the DB2 warehouse within the same data sharing group. With recent enhancements in DB2 ZOS, ZOS, and data stage, batch pipes can be used to stream the data into a DB2 load utility in parallel by partition. Now, if we move on to foil number 10, we see at runtime, the data warehouse is updated incrementally. Once the data warehouse is loaded, it needs to be updated in incremental mode. On the host side, WebSphere Classic Event Publisher is used to capture any changes in data sources like IMS and vSAM, and the WebSphere Data Event Publisher is used to capture these similar changes to DB2 OLTP data. These changes are then pushed through MQ series pipes directly into specialized data stage input stages. The changes are then fed to the data warehouse immediately or within defined windows. Distributed sources like DB2 LUW or in the immediate future Oracle can be used for change capture and feed their updates into the accelerator. Finally, on slide number 11, we notice the last of our ETL support. In database, what's called ELT, extract, load, and transform, done by data stage. Most efficient transformations happen within the database without the data ever leaving the DB2 system. This can be done whenever SQL delivers all the necessary functionality to perform the transformation. Aggregations from the detailed data into day, week, or month summaries can be one example of this kind of in-database transformation, here labeled as ELT, extract, load, transform versus ETL. On our next slide, number 12, I want to clarify the intent of the rest of this teleconference, and that is to, number one, expand on the ETL component of the BI solution architecture that is delivered by IBM Information Server products, and secondly, to expand on analysis and reporting components of the BI solution architecture delivered by DataQuant and the AlphaBlox products. Now I'd like to turn the session over to Karen Duard to discuss the first of these topics.
Okay, and thank you, Bert, for that information. I'm going to now pick up where he left off and dive into some information related to how we actually construct the warehouse. So if you turn to slide 13, you'll see the IBM Information Server delivering information you can trust. This graphic represents the Information Server platform, which we launched in October of last year. The Information Server is designed to provide a broad set of capabilities around information integration. If you look at the center of the diagram, you see functional pillars, understanding information, cleansing information, transforming and delivering information, key technologies related to constructing the data warehouse. And then all of this sits within a platform architecture composed of a unified metadata management environment, parallel processing and connectivity technologies, as well as deployment technologies for service-oriented architectures. Together, all of this is the platform, and I'm going to take you briefly through the various pillars as well as the architecture that makes up the platform. So with that very brief introduction, let's jump right into some of the meat related to what Information Server is and what it can do for you. So first of all, if we move to the next slide, why is it important to begin with understanding? When we looked at that high-level graphic, the first sort of pillar of functionality on the left was labeled understand. And it's because if we integrate information without understanding what that information represents, we can get the wrong answers when we start asking questions. So when our business users start using information, we have to make sure that we have, in fact, delivered the right information to them and that we have delivered information that means what they think it means. So questions like, where is my information? How do I get it when I need it? What does it mean? Can I trust it? If I ask the same question through two different systems, am I going to get the same answer? So there's a trust factor involved. How do I get it in the form I need it, and how do I control it? All those types of questions are related to understanding the information that you have. And associated with those questions are a number of technologies that are components within our Information Server platform. Moving to the next slide, the first component that I'm going to introduce you to is WebSphere Business Glossary. This component is focused on business metadata. It's all about creating a common language between the business user and the technology user to identify in business terms what information exists, and then to use that terminology throughout the platform. So this provides a common context for information technology assets. It also can establish responsibilities and accountability so that you can clearly understand who owns what data, which applications own what data, which business users are controlling the actual definitions of information. So this is a point where we can create that relationship between the business user and the technology user. Moving on to the next slide, Rational Data Architect. This is our logical metadata solution focused on data modeling for data structures and for federation. There's data discovery embedded in Rational Data Architect so that it can, in fact, discover the metadata relationships by looking out at your information sources themselves, allowing you to do things like impact analysis and synchronization across disparate models, and then generate actual SQL to be able to access that information, or XML schemas that define that information. Moving on to the third component in our Understand pillar, WebSphere Information Analyzer. This is one of the key technologies, in my estimation, around warehousing. Because, again, understanding the information and making sure that we're actually getting the right information can be critical to constructing an effective data warehouse. This solution looks at the information itself to discover the model. It's all about the physical metadata. It literally goes out and reads the data to discover relationships, to find that a piece of information in database A appears to have very similar content to a piece of information in database B. Are these pieces related? And it can present that type of information to you. So it's all about the creation of metadata from a profiling analysis. And again, because these understanding components are all part of the overall information server platform, what you discover here carries through into all of the other functional areas. So let's move on to the next functional area, the cleansing functional area. And why do you care? Well, one of the things we've learned over the many years that we've been working with customers is that information quality is not a static thing. It's a very dynamic concept within your data, and it changes over time. In fact, typical industry statistics indicate that data quality degrades on average about 1% per month. So at the end of a year, if you have done nothing about the quality of your information, if you have done nothing to analyze that and to correct that, you will have about 12% of your information showing errors, showing bad information. And it's not because your people aren't good. It's because we're not perfect. People entering information into a system type something wrong. I fat finger things all the time. That's why I have spell check. This is the type of problem that data cleansing technologies can help you address. We also know that we discover as either we've acquired other businesses or as we have tried to bring siloed systems together, that consistency across information in the enterprise can be a real challenge. We have this data myopia. We look at the data associated with our system, and we're not necessarily aware of and worried about information that represents the same business entity in another system. So we look out at our information, and the data cleansing technologies are really designed to help us address the lack of information standards, to discover data surprises. It's always interesting when people do a data cleansing initiative that they discover information in their databases they didn't even know was there. Information buried in free-form fields that are not structurally analyzed, it's the content that becomes important. And looking at the actual content and trying to match that content with perhaps content in structured data can be very beneficial. Again, that data myopia, when we tend to look at our siloed applications, this application has a view of a customer, another application over here has a view of a customer, but do they have the same view of that customer? And as we try to create more consistent single views of critical business entities like customers and products and accounts, all those business entities that drive our organizations, we need to look beyond the silos. We need to look more broadly. And then lastly, redundancy issues. If we look out at our information landscape, we will see that we typically have a piece of data not in one place, not in two places. It's not unusual for that information to exist in 3, 4, and 5 different physical data structures. To address that, IBM's information server platform includes a product called WebSphere Quality Stage, if we move to the next slide. WebSphere Quality Stage specializes in data quality functions. It is designed to analyze the content, to do matching and merging, to apply rules-based logic to your information so that you can use probabilistic matching to create consistent information across the enterprise to enable that single version of the truth, to ensure that you deduplicate, that you standardize, and that the information you have is in fact good, so that when you start to use that information to populate a data warehouse, an operational data store, you're populating that data warehouse or that operational data store with good information, not just copying information from one place to another and promoting more inconsistencies, more duplications, more errors. Moving on to the next slide, we hit our third pillar, our transformation pillar. What is important about transformation and delivery? When you're looking at transformation technology, you know, why are you looking at it? Well, first of all, recognize that the whole objective of a transformation solution is to enable information to be used in new business contexts, to reuse and repurpose information, to take that operational transaction-oriented information and merge it with other information, reformat it, aggregate it, summarize it, so that we can store it in, for example, a data warehouse suitable for business decision-making, business analysis. So it's all about repurposing information. A transformation solution needs to be designed in such a way that it can be used by the information experts who understand the underlying metadata and understand the information context. This is where that understanding information created by something like a business glossary can become very important, because that contextual information created by the business user can be reused here so that the technology user constructing the warehouse is picking up the right pieces of information and creating the right business rules around that information to deliver it to the warehouse for the business user. Transformation and delivery mechanisms are critical, and the key value that you get when you look at transformation technology is reuse. I've been working in data processing for way more years than I'd like to admit, and I know that I can code my way out of any problem. However, when we're talking about transformation and delivery technology, coding my way out of the problem can be done, but should it be done? The key here is the more reuse we can get, the more we can deliver information to our users in shorter time frames. And it's all about speed of delivery. So reuse is the critical characteristic of a transformation technology, and that's what I'm going to look at when I implement this technology. So if we look at IBM's solution in this area on the next slide, WebSphere Data Stage. WebSphere Data Stage is a visual design environment that is a codeless design environment using literally hundreds of built-in transformation capabilities. It's designed to allow you to pick and choose from the various data sources in your enterprise, everything from a flat file to a relational database to a legacy mainframe IMS database to a packaged application database like SAP or Siebel, and to recognize those data sources exist, to then designate the information in those data sources that we want to pull into what we call a data flow, to match, to merge, to repackage, to repurpose, to aggregate, to summarize, and then to come out the other end with one or more targets, being your data warehouse, your operational data store, or perhaps even a new customer data source for your customer data integration efforts. It's capable of supporting batch and real-time operations, because what we're seeing more and more today is that yesterday's data isn't good enough, that decisions need to be made based on current information. So while, yes, I need to do my daily totals for my summarization and aggregation requirements, there is information in the enterprise that I would like to bring to the data warehouse immediately. Literally, as soon as the information is changed, I want to deliver that to the warehouse. So our WebSphere data stage is designed to handle both that batch-type processing, where I'm going to deal with totals and aggregates, as well as that real-time operation that allows me to have very low latency and very current information in my data warehouse, my operational data store, my MDM initiative, whatever it may be. Moving on, how do we actually get at all of the information in your enterprise? And this is our fourth pillar, the delivery pillar. So we start with WebSphere Federation Server on our next slide. This is all about providing a standardized access to a broad spectrum of data within the enterprise. SQL access primarily to distributed data so that I can pull that information from the distributed platform into my mainframe data warehouse, into my DB2 for Z data warehouse. I have a SQL access method because that is a standardized method regardless of the source data, so that I have a consistent way to deal with all information. This allows me to better use my technology skills. It allows me to seamlessly integrate with a broad spectrum of not only IBM technologies like data stage and quality stage and information analyzer, but it allows me to also integrate with literally hundreds of technologies from third parties. It's a very visual tool for it's designed to discover the metadata about the various sources that you're going to deal with so that you're not spending a lot of time creating data definitions. You're spending time actually using that data. So if WebSphere Federation Server is focused on providing a seamless and standardized access to your distributed data, our next technology in the pillar on the next slide, WebSphere Classic Federation Server, is focused on your mainframe data. This is read-write technology for mainframe data. But like WebSphere Federation Server, it is driven by SQL, by SQL. It is driven by SQL, again, so that I can have a consistent lens into all of my mainframe data. I can integrate my IMS data, my IDMS data, my Datacom, my database, my flat files, my vSAM data as seamlessly as I integrate my DB2 relational database data. It's designed to work within the mainframe infrastructure, but to enable that mainframe data to, quote-unquote, your modern applications and tools, to seamlessly bring this data into your data warehousing initiative, to tie that data to data stage, to quality stage, to information analyzer, and other solutions that you may have. It can be reused not only within your data warehousing environment, but also to enable that mainframe data to other initiatives like self-service portals or e-commerce solutions. So it's a very broad-based solution. And again, it's a read-write solution. It can be used for read-only when I want to load a warehouse. It can be used for read and write when I want to build an e-commerce solution. Moving on to a second component in our delivery pillar, WebSphere Data Event Publishers. If I think about SQL data access, that is very much a pull model of data delivery. The data stage solution pulls information out of your vSAM file so that it can update your DB2 data warehouse. Data event publishers are sort of the flip side of that data delivery coin. These are push data integration technologies. They actually use what we call a data event, and a data event is a change to a piece of data. And we capture that change and we push that change out so that WebSphere data stage can take that change and update your data warehouse, your DB2 data warehouse. This allows us to do update-only processing on the warehouse to deliver changes as they are being made to your warehouse, to your DB2 operational data store. This gives us very low latency that complements the more scheduled nature of the classic federation style of integration with DataStage. This is how we can deliver both a pull batch scheduled updating of the warehouse as well as a very real-time change-only updating of the warehouse. Now, the data event publishers are designed to feed not only DataStage, but again, a broad spectrum of technology solutions. And for that reason, they publish the data changes in multiple formats. There's a consistent relational format that makes it very easy to use the data so that, again, I can hide or mask the differences between an IMS database, a vSAN file, an IDMS database, and a DB2 database. There's an XML published format, which is very easy to consume. So if I'm pushing information out to a solution that really doesn't know what the data is going to look like, I can use the self-describing capabilities of XML to deliver that data. And then there's also what we call the delimited values format, which minimizes the message size. So when I have, I'm pushing data to, for example, DataStage, which understands what the information looks like, and I don't have to describe it to DataStage, I can use this more compressed message format and improve the throughput of pushing those changes. It has recoverability and assured delivery built right in. I've listed the data sources that are supported here as well. So we've looked at our pillars, our functional pillars, around capabilities that we need to actually construct the warehouse. But when I started this discussion off, I introduced this as the IBM Information Server Platform. What makes it a platform? Moving to the next slide. It's the capabilities around the functional pillars that these functional products sit on top of that actually make this a platform and not just a collection of products. So let's take a look at what you get from the platform. Key to the platform is the unified metadata management environment, because this is an environment where 1 + 1 doesn't equal 2, it equals 4. Because we use a consistent metadata management environment, we share information between the functional pillars. So the work that is done higher up the food chain is fed down the food chain. I don't have to recreate information. I learn from what came before me. And you can actually implement functional areas without the other areas. You don't have to deliver, you know, you don't have to implement information analyzer and quality stage and data stage. You could implement just data stage. But when you start to implement multiple pillars, products that in fact leverage each other, that's when you start to see the value of this metadata management platform and start to get the 1 + 1 = 4 type of value. Also underneath this platform is an operational environment, a parallel processing engine that is shared across the functional pillars so that we can provide consistent high performance to all of our solutions. We started to eat our own dog food, as it were, in that we implemented our platform on a services-oriented architecture so that we could have shared services that support the functionality of each of the product pillars and not reinvent the wheel every time. Also underlying the platform is connectivity to a broad set of applications, data, and content, because obviously if we can't get at the information you need, we haven't solved any of your problems. And then finally, on the top, we have this unified deployment. So we recognized that SOA, S-O-A, service-oriented architecture, was very important to our platform. We believe using information in a SOA environment is also very important to your application requirements. So we provide a SOA deployment capability that can be leveraged with the underlying functional pillars. So why do we care? Moving on to the next slide. The information server platform features. This role-based tools, the GUI tools that are driving this, are integrated with the underlying metadata environment so that we can, one, simplify integration, two, promote reuse. Reuse is how I get more bang for my buck. This is how I make that 1 + 1 = 4 and not 2, how I accelerate the delivery schedules of my projects. Increasing compliance to standards, because again, I have one consistent view. And that shared metadata is open to third-party integration. We actually have technology that allows you to bring information from other products, other metadata environments, and share that information with the information server platform. Another key capability, because again we have this shared metadata environment, is that we can provide visual lineage so that you can increase the trust. We can trace back a piece of physical data, we can trace back a piece of information delivered to the warehouse or to the operational data store back to the physical source that provided that information so that you know where information is coming from and where it's going. We also can provide a very graphical impact analysis capability for change management. Again, because we're sharing metadata, we can come in, and when you need to change information in a DB2 table, you can very quickly discover where that DB2 table is already used so that you understand the impact of the change you're about to make and can ensure that all of the extraction jobs or the data warehouse building jobs that are impacted are in fact updated appropriately. Moving on, the rich connectivity. I wanted to include this in here so that you had an idea of the breadth of coverage of that connectivity capability. It's very shared, easy to use connectivity infrastructure, best of breed, driven again by metadata, very high volume, parallel connectivity capabilities to databases, to file systems, to packaged applications, and supporting connectivity with multiple models. Again, going back to that, not just being able to pull information, but also being able to have real-time feeds of information, push information. Very important in today's world where yesterday's data just isn't good enough. Another capability of the platform, our third capability, is the deployment. Moving to the next slide, Webster Information Services Director provides that SOA deployment model. It allows you to package information integration capabilities as a service. And if you think about, why would I want to do that? Well, how about if I take a standard cleansing capability? I know this is how this information should be cleansed. And I describe that in my quality stage tool, and I then feed that information into data stage so that I create the rules, the actual processing, that can apply that quality definition to information. And then I package that as a service so that every time I need to use that information, it goes through that quality filter before I deliver it. This is a way to package information capabilities as a service and reuse those services across your application workload. Lots of capabilities built in here to make those services usable, such as load balancing, fault tolerance, and so forth. So that's the capabilities of the platform. Let's very quickly take a look at how the platform is constructed so that you can better understand how it integrates with the rest of your environment. So if we move to the next slide, IBM Information Server Implementation Architecture, we start with our Windows-based interfaces. We start with the GUI world. This is a set of interfaces that are used to drive the underlying functional technologies. And they have a very common look and feel. It's the concept of I have one desktop, but the capabilities have been designed for the types of users that are going to be using each of the capabilities. So the user for business glossary, for example, where I'm defining business level metadata, are going to be very different from the data stage user that's defining an extract, transform, load job to push data into a data warehouse. As a result, I want to make sure that the GUIs being used are focused or targeted to the type of user using that particular capability. But at the same time, they have to fit within that consistent platform look and feel. The UI is going to interact with the server technology. So the next capability in the architecture is the underlying server designed to run on Unix, Linux, and Wintel platforms. And note that Z-Linux is in white because Z-Linux is planned for later this year. We're in our porting process as I speak with you. Now, this server architecture is very important because this represents that services layer that I talked about when I talked about the platform concept. We actually, again, eat our own dog food. We use WebSphere Application Server to provide our framework, our service framework. And within that service framework, you'll see our common services capabilities like logging and reporting, our metadata access capabilities, our metadata analysis capabilities, scheduling, security functions, connectors to other services. All of those are in a shared services environment so that each of the functional pillar products leverages one consistent SOA environment, one set of services, so that when we deliver a capability, that capability is available in all of the products that can leverage it. We are interacting with the metadata store. That metadata store by default is going to be a DB2 metadata store. Doesn't have to be, but that again is the default metadata store. Then we have our server engine for data stage, which is really a scheduling engine, and we have our parallel processing environment, what we call the PX engine. The parallel processing environment is there for all technologies, not just data stage. And within that environment is our rich connectors, both our non-ZOS and our ZOS data connectors. Looking to our ZOS capabilities, here's where we start to see our connectivity into our delivery technologies for DB2, for IMS, for vSAM, and so forth. So here's where you see our native ZOS connectors able to talk directly with our Classic Federation server so that we can seamlessly pull information from our mainframe data sources. Here's where you also see our very high-performance DB2 connector for ZOS so that we can both load and access DB2 data on ZOS with very good performance. Here is also where you see the connection to our push data integration technology, the data event publishers, which feed changes back into, for example, data stage for update-only processing on a warehouse. And we use WebSphere MQ as our transport mechanism for that. But that's not enough. That's assuming we're running all of this technology on a distributed environment. What if we want to start tightening our connections with our ZOS environment? Well, the first thing we can do is we can actually move our metadata over to DB2 on ZOS. rather than have our metadata sitting, for example, when we deliver Z-Linux in DB2 for Z-Linux. More importantly, however, we also can deploy our transformations, our ETL capabilities on the ZOS platform. So we see our parallel processing engine, which can run under Unix System Services with native connectivity directly into vSAM sequential and IMS data as well as DB2, and then also able to leverage our classic federation technology to access a broader set of data sources. And then finally, we have another flavor of our data stage technology that actually generates COBOL applications and JCL, which we can then upload to our ZOS environment, and we can read and write our mainframe data using these generated COBOL applications to do our extract transform load processing. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to Mike to continue our look at the IBM analysis and reporting products.
Thanks, Karen. I'm on the slide that says IBM analysis and reporting products. IBM provides two unique products for creating business intelligence solutions, DataQuant and AlphaBlox. Both provide rich BI capabilities as well as the ability to interoperate with each other should that fit the customer's requirements. The most significant thing to note is that DataQuant is intended to be an out-of-the-box, programmer-free BI tool, whereas AlphaBlox is more of a programmer toolkit and an environment to develop inline embedded analytics for key business analysis and metrics. Let's begin our discussion with DataQuant and go to the next slide. An overview of IBM DataQuant. It's an Eclipse-based query reporting and analysis package. It has a high degree of affinity with IBM's QMF line of products as well as the Informix Visionary Analytics tool. DataQuant was created using the best functionality of its predecessors and some of the new dynamic capabilities. It supports both rich client and thin client deployments. Now, with DataQuant, one can query a wide variety of databases and types to create meaningful business-related output in the form of reports, graphical reports, charts, graphs, and dashboards. DataQuant can be customized for the user or by the group to extend or limit its capabilities based upon what the user needs and or wants to do. It's offered as a server-based pricing model, thus all users receive the same functionality at no additional cost. The customer determines how best to set it up. DataQuant accesses a wide variety of databases, as I mentioned before, including DB2, Informix, as well as non-IBM databases such as Oracle or Teradata. It can be set up to access multiple databases within the same report or dashboard if you choose to do so. Database security, access, and control is determined by the systems group or others responsible and cannot be used to violate any enterprise's standards. Let's go to the next slide. Okay, the components of DataQuant. We have DataQuant for Workstation, which is a rich client component. It runs on the workstation environments as shown here. DataQuant for WebSphere deployment model runs within any application server such as WebSphere. Thus, you can run DataQuant any place where WebSphere application server resides. It runs on the Z series as well as the I series and all the other deployments of WAS. So you have a vast array of choices in how one wishes to deploy this. DataQuant allows the customer to deploy as you see fit. Now, it's not uncommon to set up DataQuant for storage access and control under ZOS, but to have the users access several different databases on a variety of platforms from the same client. You choose. Well, for example, one may wish to save all the queries and report templates and chart definitions on ZOS, though you actually may be accessing data on several non-Z platforms. This may be due to the need to use secure and reliable backup and restore functions on the mainframe. Now, the user may have queries that access data on other platforms, but does not wish to have their objects stored and scattered throughout a network of servers throughout, so you can set that up as needed. Let's move on to the next slide. Here are some of the highlights of DataQuant. We've already mentioned the dashboard reporting and personalization capabilities, but also here you see a small sample of the output one can create with DataQuant. Now, you can mix and match output and types on the same pane of glass with graphical or textual representation in any manner. You can nest results within results, thus there's really no limit to what you can create. To be brutally honest here, you're only limited by your imagination in using DataQuant. DataQuant is ideal in an SOA environment. Its objects can be called or embedded within SOA applications such as a dashboard or other applications. It's ideal for creating and delivering BI content for the web and extranet applications. Its strong security model allows one to deploy its objects with confidence that all corporate security and intellectual capital will remain under strict control. Now, DataQuant has also added over 100 deep analytical functions such as regression analysis and more that provide deeper business intelligence analytic capabilities. It is one of the most significant differences between it and its predecessor QMF product. It's just deeper, wider, and it quite frankly does a whole lot more in the analytics space. But speaking of QMF, now DataQuant can also use an existing QMF infrastructure and its objects. One example might be if you have a library of existing QMF queries or objects that you'd like to use some DataQuant as is, or even enhance them or embellish them further, you can do this. You don't need to recreate them. You don't need to restore them, et cetera, you can use what's in place. This is especially important when you have a heavy investment in queries that one does not wish to rewrite or create using a workstation tool or an alternative. Use them as they reside today. Let's move on here. Talk a little bit about visual dashboards. Dashboards are now really a part of the permanent business intelligence vocabulary. Any BI tool worth using has dashboard creation as part of its core engine. Dashboards have become, just quite frankly, just another style of presentation or output. In the past, special and often proprietary tools had to be used to create and deliver dashboards. DataQuant provides functions to create executive output, information portals, and sophisticated what-if scenarios. Again, and quite frankly, to belabor this point, and it's extremely important, it requires no programming, even for its most sophisticated functions. The best way I pose this, quite frankly, if you can write an Excel formula, then you can most likely use anything shipped within DataQuant. For the less experienced user or one with simpler needs, it offers a set of functions even the least technical user can quickly learn and use. Moving on, a little more about visual dashboards, etc. Okay, there are 20 visual layouts shipped with DataQuant itself, and you can see some of them represented here. However, a user can also create their own chart types and extend the graphical capabilities to suit an enterprise-specific in-house requests or needs. Not all users see things the same way, and it's become proven that different graphical output may be required to convey the message depending upon the user or how they happen to grasp information. You are not restricted by any particular view type. With IBM DataQuant, you have the option to deliver critical business information in any style at all required to convey the message. Now, some of the output types might be new to you, such as things like hierarchy charts. You can think far outside the box in creating and delivering visual styles to convey your information. It has the ability to nest various output styles within others, such as the example you see. If you look at the one with the U.S. map on it, and you see the bar charts embedded, there are no limitations to nesting objects. Obviously, one must be able to deliver output that can be deciphered, but you do have the ability to literally go wild. Let's go to the next chart, please. Thus, I position IBM DataQuant as an enterprise business intelligence solution and or tool. Here we see DataQuant delivered as a dashboard within WebSphere. Note that we've combined data from a variety of databases, both IBM and non-IBM. These results may come from any number of platforms, but all combined into a single desktop view within DataQuant. You may, quote, wire objects together if there's commonality to perform actions such as drilling, from one level to another based upon criteria that the user clicked while navigating. Or a less sophisticated use might well be that you just want to compare data in two different sources at the same time because that's what you need to see. That's how the end users think. The company has no intention of combining the data. They're not going to federate it, homogenize it, etc. But it's beneficial for me, the end user, to look at two different graphs related to two different data sources. DataQuant can truly be thought of as an enterprise BI solution. It can be easily tailored to your needs locally or globally. Next slide. Now here we see enhanced graphical reporting. You know, there's reporting and then there's reporting. Now here we have a textual report rendered in two different ways. Nothing wrong with the first. The more conventional textual report certainly conveys valuable information, but you can also take it several steps further and enhance the look and the feel and the content and possibly even the context of a report with a richer, more graphical model. DataQuant has the ability to dump its output into Excel if that's what you need. If the user says, I just want to get it this far, dump it into Excel, fine. Push a button and you have Excel as well. So there's always that option. Let's go on to the next slide, please. So here we see the architecture. It's pretty simple, really. You set it up with a repository to store objects in a database. And it has to be a database, obviously, that DataQuant supports. And then you authorize users to access data, and you get started. They may be a rich client running on a workstation or one who drives it through a browser using the thin client deployment. Data access is limited to how you've set up the DataQuant environment. For example, a user running under WAS for ZOS may be accessing mainframe data as well as data on a distributed platform. You have a single deployment of DataQuant, the data access definitions to multiple sources. And the user saves their report, you know, the report, chart, whatever it may be, they're always directed back to the repository on Z, only because you've set it up that way. And again, you have a marvelous mix and match capability here. Some people see DataQuant for ZOS, and there's this assumption that you can only access ZOS data, and quite frankly, that is not true. It's once you have it, you can access data on any platform. You have a tremendous range of setup and administrative options available. Let's move on to the next slide. Security and personalization. DataQuant provides single sign-on capabilities and the use of existing security models. If you, however, do not have an internal security model to use, you may set up one in DataQuant. You may also employ a wide array of personalization options for users by individuals or by groups. Some users may want to be administrators and creators of sophisticated output and authors of new esoteric charts because you can customize your charts starting from scratch. Others may want just a few simple options available to run and display a set of reports, charts, and a dashboard with little or no interactive creation capability. You can deliver DataQuant to both user types quite handily. Let's go to the next chart, please. And I think this is extremely important. It is backward compatible with existing QMF infrastructure. If you are an existing QMF customer, you may use and even add to your current environment quite handily. Your QMF objects are compatible with DataQuant. This is important because the skills and investments you've made in QMF is often quite significant. We in IBM want to ensure that your current user set isn't forced to use something new, or all of a sudden their environment is totally alien from what they've had before and does not take advantage of their current skill set and their objects. You may opt to run DataQuant in an environment where there's still significant 3270 output, should that be the case. Nothing precludes you from having a mix and match of existing QMF users that don't want to do anything new at all, or new users that might want to take advantage of existing queries, but they want to venture more into what DataQuant offers. Your investment is secure. Let's go to the next slide. So here's some product information for IBM DataQuant for ZOS version 1.1. There is the part number. It is a one-time charge offering, and it's priced per value unit on a one-time charge basis. There is a prerequisite of QMF Enterprise Edition for DataQuant under ZOS. And again, note that you can access any and all data anywhere from this version. Some do interpret ZOS as restricting you to ZOS data. That simply is not true. I can't hammer that enough because we get many questions on this. Once you install it, you have access to data within the enterprise. If it's supported by DataQuant, you may now get to it. Thus, again, I think DataQuant is truly an enterprise-wide business intelligence solution for global deployment, however one wishes to do so. Let's go to the next slide. Previously, when I opened up, I mentioned we have two solutions here. We have DataQuant and we have AlphaBlox. Well, AlphaBlox is a platform designed to create customized analytic and inline applications. It's extremely strong in accessing or creating OLAP data, in particular for viewing and slicing and dicing. If you have a set of business processes that would be strongly enhanced by embedded analytics that have to be customized for specific business use, then it would be important to take a good, long, technical deep dive into AlphaBlox. It's quite exciting and quite robust. We ship it as a suite of blocks, BLOX is what we call them. They're the pre-built box to use for analytic output. As we mentioned in the opening slide, it is more for a technical programming type of user. A Java programmer is ideal to enable and deploy AlphaBlox applications. Before I leave that slide, there's some really clever little graphics. Again, your applications can look like this. Let's go to the next slide. Here are the components in AlphaBlox. It's a modular framework with reusable components with a variety of development tools to build and assemble analytic applications. It may be installed and run on the leading J2EE application servers, including WebSphere, and it significantly enhances the end user's business intelligence capability with sophisticated processes and output. Let's say you have a set of business intelligence analytics and outputs you want to put inside an application for a set of end users. These users may have little or no technical skill, and their requirements are far too sophisticated for many BI tools. You could have them work endlessly on a set of Excel worksheets, when we all know that's not outside the box, and have limited access to data and security and auditability. Or you could have a professional develop and deliver a single version of the analytical truth with alpha blocks. I would obviously vote for the latter. Let's move on. Here's a schema of the platform architecture. We've made it simplistic just to give you the idea. You have analytical applications delivered through a J2EE application server. It may be accessing a multidimensional database and drilling through to a relational database, or it may be directly accessing the relational database, creating cubes on the fly. So that's the architecture, somewhat simplified. But again, I want to make sure that we understand this. Note that even though our name is DB2 Alpha Blocks, we connect to more than just DB2, just like DataQuant, because we're not going to be outdone in that arena. IBM Alpha Blocks is a platform that lets you query, analyze, and collaborate on multiple data sources and develop a data analytical application to your audience for their specifics through a web browser. It offers the ability to write back to the database, as does DataQuant, thus extending its analytical and business process support way beyond the reach of its competitors. Most query and reporting products do not support write-back. This is a key differentiator today with IBM's BI solutions. In addition to the traditional connections to multidimensional data, and again, Alpha Blocks can also connect to IBM's CubeViews through our relational cubing engine. We can also connect to other relational data sources like Informix, Redbrick, Oracle, Sybase, Microsoft SQL, and others. Let's go to the next slide. A little bit of positioning here. And again, I'm in the Department of Redundancy Department, but I think it's really important to understand, okay, why do we have two solutions? Well, in business intelligence, we see many, many different users and different user requirements. Some rules of thumb here, just to differentiate, you know, between IBM DataQuant and Alpha Blocks, as to which solution is best for you is, you know, quite simple. Now, this is not to say that one would not have both IBM solutions and intertwine them as needed. Yes, you can do that. The biggest difference are the skills required, out-of-the-box versus programming, and the intended use. Do you want an ad hoc environment, or would you prefer inline embedded analytics? So, do you have a need for both solutions? No problem there. Not too long ago, business intelligence solutions and products, they're still kind of an exotic environment in nature. I mean, every customer talked about it, but you know, there were a plethora of tools out there, and people really had not put business intelligence into the mainstream. Now today, BI is as mainstream as the use of a browser to find information. The value such solutions bring and being fleet of foot and agile to take on the competition and stay ahead of the game, it's just a fact of life. But no matter what your BI requirements are, we can satisfy them with IBM's current solutions. Hopefully that gives you a reasonable overview of IBM DataQuant and IBM Alpha Blocks, and let me turn it back to the operator. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Now we would like to ask you to participate in a brief electronic survey. Right after the survey, we will have a live question and answer session with the presenters. Your feedback is important to us, and we do appreciate the time you take to answer these questions. To participate, simply press the star key followed by the number that best corresponds to your choice. And please listen to all options before making your selection. Question one. Please evaluate your level of satisfaction with today's teleconference. If it was high, press star 1. If it was medium, press star 2. If it was low, press star 3. And we'll pause for a moment to allow everyone an opportunity to respond. Question 2. Was the level of technical information presented in this teleconference? If it was at the right level, press star 1. If it was not technical enough, press star 2. If it was more technical than I need to hear, press star 3. Once again, we'll pause for just a moment. And moving on to question 3. Are you currently using DB2 for ZOS for data warehousing? If yes, press star 1, and if no, star 2. And moving on to question 4 now. What version of DB2 for ZOS are you currently running? If it is version 9, press star 1. Version 8, star 2. And for version 7, press star 3. Again, we'll pause for just a moment and we'll move on to our final survey question. And our final survey question is, now we hope that you did enjoy today's teleconference. Please let us know if you're interested in receiving additional information or follow-up regarding the products discussed today. If you are, please press star 1, and if no, star 2. That does conclude our survey. We'd like to thank you all for your participation. And now let's move on to our question and answer session. Now, to ask a question, simply press the star key followed by the digit 1 on your telephone. For those of you using a speakerphone, please remember to turn off your mute function before signaling for a question. Once again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 now. We'll pause for just a moment to allow an opportunity to queue up. With no questions in our queue at this time, once again, that is star 1. And at this time, we have no questions in our queue. I'd like to turn the conference back over to our panel. And again, we have no questions in our queue. I'd like to turn the conference back over to our panel for additional or closing remarks. And that does conclude today's conference call. Thank you for your participation. Have a great day.